It was June in the year of 1865. I was 17. My father had died 3 months earlier, and I was the ward of my uncle Silas, living at his isolated house in Derbyshire. My uncle's reputation was stained.
You know, miss, your uncle, Mr. Silas Ruthin, was talked about unpleasantly once.
You mean concerning the death of Mr. Chark at Bartram House?
We assume, of course, unjustly. But there are many who think quite differently.
Dr. Brierley was the chief executor of my father's will and had my interests at heart. My uncle quarrelled with him and forbade him the house. My cousin Monica, Lady Knollys, also viewed the circumstances with trepidation.
You must know, my dear Maud, what a prize you are. You are an immense trust.
My concern grew when I was introduced to my cousin Dudley, Silas's son. He had been party to an attempt to abduct me before my father died, but my uncle was adamant.
He was not there.
And his son persistently wooed me. I complained to my uncle, but he supported his son's suit, saying such an alliance was the only salvation for him and his line.
What will he do when he realizes?
Realizes?
When he realizes I am not going to change my mind.
I was exploring the upper disused reaches of my uncle's house. With me was Millie, his daughter, and my boon companion.
Maud? Why are you singing that?
I don't know. Yes, I do know.
La 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 la.
Maud.
My dear Maud. My dear, dear child.
Madame de la Rochia.
You see, I have not forgotten you. And you, I think, have not forgotten. Gotten me.
I had fainted.
We present George Cole as Silas Ruthin and Teresa Gallagher as his niece Maud in Uncle Silas, by Sheridan Lefanu.
Maud. 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 Oh, who is she? What is it?
She's in the room. She's gone to get you some water.
She was my governess at North. She's evil. She hates me. I thought that
she's coming.
Help me out. Thank you.
Ah, Maud. I see you are revived. Here is some water.
Where did you get it? No one lives on this floor.
Happily, I see you do not need it.
How long have you been at Bartram?
You do not introduce your dear, sweet madame to your friend. It is Miss Millicent, I think.
Yes.
I am enchanted to meet you.
I'm not enchanted to meet you.
Ah, Maud, Maud. Already you are spreading your lies, ma chère petite calomniatrice.
How long have you been at Bartram?
2 or 3 days.
And why are you here?
Your uncle, he sent for me. Why else?
My uncle sent for you?
From the convent school in France. Where else?
He's gonna do it, Maud. He said he would. He's going to do it. He's going to send me away.
You shall go to see my uncle.
Let us do so.
I have certain things, madame, to tell him.
My dear Maud, you do not change.
Why am I disturbed, pray?
Miss Maud Ruthin, she will explain.
Do you know this woman? Please, father, tell me it's not true.
Tell that what is not true?
That you're sending me to France.
My dearest Millicent.
Yes?
It is entirely true.
Oh!
Now, Millicent, you will leave us. I shall explain things to you later. I must apologise for my daughter, madame. She's almost entirely lacking in savoir-faire. Now, perhaps, Maud, you will explain to me what all this is about.
Do you know this woman?
I do not care for your tone.
Are you, sir, acquainted with madame?
I have spoken with her, that is all.
I am.
You're very blunt.
She was my governess at Knowle.
Is this so, madame?
It is so, monsieur.
Well, I wish you had mentioned it. Nevertheless, Maud, you must be delighted at the reunion.
I am not. Madame de la Rougierre was dismissed from my father's service at an hour and a half's notice.
That is true, monsieur.
One night, I observed her clandestinely going through my father's papers. She had obtained a false key to his desk. I informed my father, and after a painful interview, madame was sent packing back to France.
From whence she has been summoned.
I was sent packing, yes. There was a painful interview, yes. Miss Maud did make her allegations, certainly, but the allegations are completely false. I turn my face and spit upon them.
You hear her, my dear child? You hear her deny everything. What am I to think? You must excuse the bewilderment of my old head. It strikes me you must have made a mistake.
But, sir, I...
As you did over my son, Dudley. Oh,
I must ask you, Uncle, not to confuse two different...
It is you who are confused. Here is a conflict, my dear. In my mind, a perception of mistake. I confess I should prefer that theory to a peremptory assumption of guilt. There, there, sweet niece, do not be downcast. Madame understands how these things can happen. Do you not, madame?
I do, monsieur.
There, we have heard enough. Madame de la Rougierre will be your companion at the utmost for 3 or 4 weeks. You will do well to get your French up a little.
Why, sir? Shall we be going to France?
I'm sending Millie on before you to the conventual school. It's a project I've had in mind for some time now. If the school is satisfactory, which madame assures me I have every reason to expect, I thought you might find it a pleasant change to go there for a short while.
I understand then, Monsieur Poutine. You wish I shall resume my instructions.
Converse all you can in French with Madame Maud. You'll be glad when you get there. You'll find they speak little else.
And will Millie be improving her French as well?
One cannot augment what one has never had.
Madame, I will not speak with you.
Do not be so childish, Maud.
You know my reasons.
I confess I do not.
You said I was lying. You said in front of my uncle I was lying.
I have my reasons. If you knew my reasons, you would praise me.
We will have none of your wriggling.
You fool. I was trying to find some papers concerning Dr. Brierly. I think he is after your money.
You have never met Dr. Brierly.
We have talked about him.
It is you. You who are after my money. You were trying to find my father's will.
What a pathetic and ridiculous creature you are.
You hate me. You wish me harm. You always have.
Such cruel words. When I am proved right, then you will thank me.
Mary, what am I to do? What am I to do?
Now, Miss Moore, don't worry yourself about...
Frightful woman. Will I never be rid of her?
You must not give
I
yourself
must
over...
must be collected in front of them. Today I fainted. That was unwise. It's only with you I can give vent to my feelings. Oh, Mary, Mary.
Hush there. Hush, hush.
What is the true relation between madame and my uncle? Did she come even to Knowle at his instigation? Did she already know Dudley when I first encountered him? Indeed, was she his accomplice?
You should not bother your head with such fearful fancies.
On the contrary, Mary. If I am to see my way through this, I must embrace them. Madame spies upon me and meddles in my affairs. Madame spies upon me and my uncle refuses to believe me. Dudley tries to abduct me. Why? To obtain my fortune.
Well, how would he manage it?
I do not wish to dwell on that possible course of action. Dudley tries to abduct me and my uncle refuses to believe it. Dr. Brierly represents my interests. He clashes with my uncle. My uncle refuses him contact with me.
Miss Maud, are you suggesting...
Dudley proposes marriage to me. As my husband, he would have total control of all my affairs. Dudley proposes, and my uncle refuses to hear my answer. It will, of course, be no. My uncle refuses. My uncle refuses. My uncle refuses. Now, I ask you, to what does all this point...
You're too young, Miss Maud, for such thoughts.
I tell you, Mary, these last 8 months, I have aged.
The next morning, I was sitting with Mary Quince reading.
Lord bless us.
Let me see that, Jennifer!
You can't go in there, I tell you. You can't.
Where is she?
Don't go, miss. She sounds drunk.
I am Miss Ruthin of Knoll. Who wants to see her?
I tried to stop her.
Get me back my lawful husband!
I beg your pardon.
Get me back my lawful husband. I know he's here. He said he's dumped me. He's taken up with you, but I ain't having it.
I assure you, I have no intention of marrying.
That's not what he says.
And who is your husband?
Read this!
Marriage at Leatherwick Church by the Reverend Arthur Hughes. Dudley A. Ruthin, Esquire of Bartram Hall, Derbyshire, to Sarah Matilda, second daughter of John Mangles, Esquire of Wigan in this county.
It's in the paper, so it's official.
Dudley A. Ruthin, Esquire.
I demand you produce me husband.
This is extremely important. You must see Mr. Silas Ruthin this instant. I am certain he knows nothing of it.
No more he does. I know that, Miss Sam. Come.
What is all this?
This lady has brought with her a newspaper containing an extraordinary statement which affects our family.
A libel, I suppose?
No, Uncle. No. Only a marriage.
Thank you. Ugh. Smells all over of tobacco and beer.
I'm only claiming what's mine but right.
And I shall make sure you get it.
You are, I suppose, the young lady, Sarah Matilda, nay Mangles, mentioned in this little paragraph?
I am.
My son is, I dare say, within reach.
Sir?
Yes, Wyatt, how prompt. I want my son immediately. If not in the house, send Harry to the stables. If not there, let him be followed, instantly.
Very good, sir.
What does your esteemed father do?
In man's wagon, sir, for Lancashire and Yorkshire Railway.
I see he's in the van of progress.
15 minutes later, Dudley arrived.
Oh, Dudley, I cut you. Your own poor style. You could not, you would not. Your own lawful wedded wife.
Get off me, woman.
Dudley, you would not abandon me for...
Pray, madam, command yourself. If only for a few moments. Thank you. Judging by your looks and demeanour, sir, I can anticipate your answers. Is this young person the daughter of a Mr. Mangles, and is her name Sarah Matilda?
I dare say.
Is she your wife?
Is she my wife?
Yes, sir. It is a plain question.
Well, happen she says I am, does she?
Is she your wife, sir?
Mayhap she so considers it after a fashion.
What do you think, sir?
I don't think nought about it.
Is this account true?
Who wants to deny it? It's true, there.
There, I know he would. I know he would.
Shut up, will you?
Dudley, darling, what have I done?
You're going to ruin me, just that's all.
Ah, I knew it, of course. And I have to congratulate you, my good fellow, on having secured the affections of a very suitable and vulgar young woman.
I ain't the first of the families that's done the same.
You say that? You say that to me? Why, boy, I'll whip you till you...
You touch me, I'll smash you. By heaven, I will.
Does he know what he says?
You may jaw me all you like, but you won't touch me.
Oh, I may speak. Thank you. I may remark, without offence to the young lady, I don't recollect the name Mangles among the old families of England. I presume you've chosen her chiefly for her virtues and her graces.
You're very kind, Sherlock.
I hope she's got a little money. I don't see how you're to live else. You're too lazy for a gamekeeper, and I don't think you could keep a pothouse. You're so addicted to drinking and quarrelling. The only thing I am quite clear upon is that you and your wife must find some other abode. You shall quit this house tomorrow morning. And, Mr. and Mrs. Dudley Ruthin, you will quit this room now, if you please.
Come, will you? You're pretty well done here.
Good afternoon, Miss Ruthin. Mr. Ruthin.
Come, will you, cut?
Maud, how shall I recover this? The vulgar villain, the fool... For me, the last hope gone. For me, utter, utter, irretrievable ruin.
He's sending me away, Maud.
I know, Minnie.
Tomorrow,
the same day as Dudley.
I'm to go on the train to London with a doctor's wife,
and then on a boat. I wish Madame were going back with you.
Don't worry. You'll be joining me soon.
Do you think so?
What do you mean?
We never got to Elverston to visit Cousin Monica.
No.
What do you think of your brother?
Dudley?
He's a stew.
Miss Maud. Miss Maud.
What?
Over here.
Meg.
Oh,
tell her to stand aside.
Millie.
I heard. We never were friends, were we, Beauty?
You're your father's daughter.
I'll be over there.
What about your father?
He mustn't know I'm talking to you. He's had instructions. You're not to be let out of the grounds. They're closing the gates. There'll be dogs.
Why?
I don't know.
You're risking a beating telling me this.
I owe it to you.
Thank you.
I must get back to Father.
When can I be?
Meet me here tomorrow at the same time.
She's gone.
She's wild.
Like you used to be.
You can't trust her.
I think after nursing her, I can.
You can't trust her.
I may have no other choice.
My dear Ward, I feel I owe you a fuller explanation than you have hitherto received. And I see by your silence you feel entitled to be offered one.
As you wish, Uncle.
Within 3 weeks, there will be an execution in this house.
An execution?
I did not intend to alarm you.
What is an execution?
How blessed are the paths of innocence. I lie a mangled creature with 50 mortal wounds on my crown. I am heavily, possibly terminally, in debt. Within 3 weeks, my creditors, or rather their bailiffs, will arrive and distrain my property. They will probably seek to distrain me also. I shall have to escape if I am to maintain my liberty. And that is why I have arranged for you to go for a short while to the convent to avoid all this unpleasantness.
How deep is the debt?
I fear you will recoil. I tell you frankly that less than £20,000 will not extricate me from the quag of ruin in which I'm entangled, lost.
And if I were to find a way to release you from your difficulty, my resources are ample, as you know.
Niece, I cannot accept money from you.
Why not?
The difficulty, the insuperable moral difficulty, is this. That I should expose myself to the plausible imputation of having worked upon you unduly for this end. You understand my scruple? I am seriously thinking of vacating my guardianship. Indeed, in the circumstances, it is improper of me to maintain it. I think Lady Knollys would be an admirable candidate to take it over.
Uncle!
I perceive you agree with me. I would ask you to write to her to explain what has passed between us this evening. My predicament and your departure to France. Your offer and my scrupulous reasons for rejecting it. My larger scheme and my hopes for her place in it. You will do that?
I should be delighted, Uncle.
It will bear all the more weight coming from you. I only ask that you let me see the letter. Tomorrow morning, say? So I can confirm it has accurately communicated my intentions. That is not too much to ask?
I shall bring you the letter tomorrow morning.
Yes, you have become so sensible.
Uncle?
My dear Maud.
Why have you given instructions for the gates to be closed?
So the execution cannot come upon me unawares. Why did you think?
That night, as Mary Quince lay sleeping, I wrote 2 letters to Lady Knollys. My dearest cousin, this will be the 2nd letter you receive from me. The 1st was the one my uncle asked me to write. The 1st is about going to France, money, and the guardianship. What it says on the surface is, on the surface, true. It has, however, been read by Uncle Silas. The 2nd is this one, which has not been read by him. Do not ask how it has got to you. Oh, my beloved cousin, as you hope for comfort in your hour of fear, aid me now. Madame de la Rouchière has appeared. She is here, and my uncle insists on making her my close companion. She is of his party and has been all along. He will have my money. He has tried every legitimate means, but to no avail. I do not understand his current stratagem, France and the rest, but I fear... I dare not say what I fear. The gates are closed against me. There are dogs. I do not know to what extremity my uncle will go. Take me away from this. If you insist, he cannot refuse. For God's sake, take me away. The next morning, I took the other letter to my uncle.
My dear Maud, how clever you are. You have conveyed exactly what I intended.
It has been my pleasure, sir, to do so.
I shall see it is conveyed into the post.
I shall leave you, sir.
Yes, of course, of course. Oh,
sir?
My errant son and his unfortunate wife, they will be sailing from Liverpool tonight. They have decided to emigrate.
Mary Quince, we were not overlooked, leaving the house.
Not that I saw, miss.
I neither. Here, she said.
Who said?
Meg Hawkes, beauty from the mill. I must ask you to stand guard.
Where, miss?
Over there. That commands the path.
Yes, Miss Maud.
If you see anyone approaching, you are to call, I found it.
I found it.
That's right. Meg. Meg!
Come here. Miss Maud.
I cannot say how relieved I am to see you.
Have you not been sleeping?
Why do you ask?
Your face. Your eyes.
I need your help. I need your help more than I have ever needed help before.
What is it?
Do you know anybody who... Do you know anybody who can get a letter out of Bartram without anyone? Anyone knowing?
Your cousin Millie.
The doctor's wife will be with her all the time. Besides, it must not be posted. It must be delivered direct.
The letter is to go to Lady Knollys at Elverston.
How did you know?
She is your lifeline. Tom. Tom.
Tom Bryce?
He'll do as I say.
Why?
Don't ask, miss.
Come here.
It's as I said, Tom.
You knew I'd...
What else can you do? He'll take it, Miss Maud, if he can. Won't you, lad?
Yeah, I'll take it.
Tom Bryce, you won't deceive me.
No, sure.
No.
You won't betray me.
No, sure.
A great deal depends on this.
That's true for her, Tom.
I'll give you a sovereign now, Tom. And you are to give this letter to Lady Knollys at Elverston. You know Elverston?
He knows Elverston, don't you, lad?
I'm not stupid.
And I'll give you another one when I know the letter's got there.
That'd be very good.
You'll take the letter, Tom.
Yeah, I'll take the letter. Thank you, miss.
Tom, if you can't be true to me, say so. Say so and keep the sovereign and say you won't mention this conversation.
I don't want to cheat you, miss. But I must take care of myself, you see. The letters all go through Silas' fingers to post. And if this one turned up, they'd all know it went beyond and I'd be spotted for it.
But you know who I am. I'd save you.
You'd want saving yourself, I'm thinking, if that fell out. I'll do what a wise lad may, miss. But I won't get knocked on the head nor sent to jail, for that's no good to thee or me.
I understand, Tom.
Come what will, miss. You'll not tell her me.
What, you're going now, Tom?
Never you mind, lass.
Yeah, that's it. You'll get into the sheep walk behind the mound.
I've and then found you'll... it.
Oh, well done, Mary. Quick, go.
It was over here all the time.
I never thought I'd see it again.
What's this?
It's Samuel Hawkes from the mill. Good morning, Mr. Hawkes.
Have you seen my girl?
Meg?
Happen?
Why, no. Not all morning.
I thought I saw Bryce about earlier.
Good morning, my dearest Maud.
Madame, I have made my opinions more than plain. I have no wish to talk to you.
But you must be so lonely.
I am used to my own company.
Both your cousins having left yesterday, one for La France and the other for L'Australie.
I assure you, I can look up...
Leaving you with only your old, stupid maid... See what I brought to amuse you.
Madame...
Your uncle wishes me to be with you.
Does he?
See what I brought to amuse you. The globes, just like we had at Knoll.
I recall you did not understand them,
the then. Globes of the world, from England to L'Australie. And see here, the newspaper. And see here, in the shipping list, the Seamew leaving Liverpool today to L'Australie. And who is this in the passenger list? Mr. and Mrs. D. Routin, bound from Liverpool to L'Australie. Every day the paper will tell us where the Seamew has been sighted, and every day we can plot it on the globes. There, Liverpool. I will mark it so. Will not this be diverting?
Thank you.
where is your dear cousin today? Let us see. The sea mew sighted off Brest. Brest, I know, and here it is on the globe. You are not interested in Dudley's progress?
Yes, yes, very interesting.
I shall mark it here. And where is your dear cousin today? Let us see.
Madame.
The sea mew sighted of La Rochelle. It is making progress.
Madame, would you please stop?
La Rochelle I also know, and here it is on the globe. You are not interested in Dudley?
No, I am not interested in Dudley. I wish him a safe and speedy journey, that is all.
You surprise me. I thought his progress would divert and also help your geography.
I am sure it will do both those things. But do we have to every day go through this?
André!
The governor wants to see Miss Maud.
How far today do we think Dudley to be?
The ship was sighted off La Rochelle.
La Rochelle, yes.
I don't think you have summoned me here solely to make that inquiry.
No, no, quite so. I'm writing to Lord Ilbury, your trustee.
Dr. Brierly is the chief executor.
No, I'm not writing to him for reasons we both know. I'm writing to young Ilbury about the proposed transference of responsibilities to Lady Knollys.
Yes, Uncle.
Naturally, I want to give some indication of how you have seen my guardianship.
Yes, Uncle.
I wish to say you found me kind, considerate, indulgent. May I say so?
Yes, Uncle.
I also wish to say you enjoyed our poor way of living here, our rough ways and liberty. Am I right?
Yes, Uncle.
And in fact, you have nothing to object against your poor old uncle except his poverty, which you forgive. I think I'm saying the truth. Am I, dear Maud?
Yes, Uncle.
That is satisfactory. So I expected you to say. I expected no less. Then how do you account for that? There! Young hypocrite and liar. Explain that farrago of slander which you bribed my servant to place in the hands of my kinswoman, Lady Knollys. As you hope for comfort in your hour of fear, aid me now. He will have my money. He has tried every legitimate means, but to no avail. I fear. I dare not say what I fear. I do not know to what extremity my uncle will go. To what extremity do you think I'm going? What does your vicious heart conceive that your mealy mouth will not utter? You do not answer. I used to think you were a frail, slight thing with no experience of the world. I used to think your mistakes were the result of an ignorant innocence. You thinking you'd been hounded by my son at Knowle. You thinking Madame was trying to steal your father's will. She is young, she's confused. Let us think nothing of it. But now I see things in a different hue. Everywhere you go, you sow confusion and dissension. Where'er you walk, you build your empire by charm and guilelessness, and then you swoop. You suborn my servant, you slander me. I have sent my daughter away lest you corrupt her. Why is she doing this, I ask myself? What is her plan? Is it deliberate? And the answer comes, no, it is not deliberate. She knows not what she does.
I will not faint.
You are mad. I am forced to the conclusion. You are mad.
I will not faint.
And I shall cure you.
I will not faint. Mary. Mary.
I'm here, Maud.
What day is it?
It's Sunday.
Was it only yesterday my uncle revealed the letter?
It was.
I did not faint.
You did not faint.
What is the matter with me? Why can't I remember leaving his room?
You became very quiet. You would not speak.
I did not faint.
No. Your eyes were open. You could hear people.
Then what?
Your uncle called me and led you here.
I feel so weak.
You are weak.
He must have had the letter for 2 days. Why did he delay revealing it, letting me think Cousin Monica might... I have answered my own question. He said I was mad. Am I mad?
I don't know what mad people are like.
He's deliberately wearing me down.
You are still the same Maud to me.
and we are in his hands. My last lifeline gone.
My dearest Maud, I hear you are ill. I am so concerned. I have come to sit with you.
Madame.
My sweetest Maud.
I am too tired to take issue with you.
Madame, what have you done with the key?
What is that, Mary Quince?
The key to the bedroom door. After you came in, you locked the door and pocketed the key.
Did I? Oh, yes. Here it is.
Why are you locking us in?
Locking you in? I'm locking the other people out. Little Maud, your uncle is still very angry with you. We would not like him coming in and spoiling your sleep, would we?
It was to lock us in. For later I found Uncle Silas was receiving a visitor.
My dear, dear Monica, how very good of you. The very person I long to see.
And where is Maud?
I think Maud is by this time halfway to Elverston. I persuaded her to take a drive and advised the call there, which seemed to please her.
How very provoking.
My poor Maud will be sadly disappointed. But you will console her with another visit. You won't deny me.
Oh, certainly not. I'm only too glad to come. And I have to thank you, Silas.
For what?
For wishing to place Maud in my care. I am very much obliged to you.
I did not suggest it, I must say, Monica, with the least intention of obliging you.
But I am very much obliged to you, Silas. And you shan't refuse my thanks.
I'm happy in having won your goodwill. We learn at last that in the affections only are capacities for happiness. And how true is St. Paul's preference of love, the principle that abideth.
Is Maud likely to return soon?
Certainly not before 5 o'clock. Hmm? You'll probably meet her on your way back to Elverston. Goodbye, my childhood money.
Goodbye, Silas. Strange.
What is?
No, nothing.
Whose is that carriage?
What carriage, dear?
Let me see. It is the physician, Dr. Jokes. He has come to see your uncle.
I heard a woman's voice.
No, my dear. There is only the doctor. He has come to see your uncle. I tell you, he is getting out of the carriage.
The carriage is driving away. It's Lady Nutty. I'm here.
Stop it.
Cousin Monica,
stop
for God's sake.
You must stop
Cousin it. Monica. Cousin Monica.
What are you doing?
Save me. Let save me. Oh, here. Cousin Monica. Save me.
See what you have done. You hurt her. She is mad. Did you not hear her uncle say so? She is mad.
June tipped over into July. My sense of foreboding increased.
Why are you so ill at ease?
I'm surprised he lets us out for walks.
You must build yourself up again.
For what? The gingerbread cottage? How does he know I won't run away?
You can't.
No. The mill's working.
What's he trying to get you to do?
There's Emil Hawkes. The brute.
Are you certain, Rod?
What's that with him?
Oh, it's just a bit of chaff.
They've gone in.
It's just a bit of chaff.
Angels, ministers of grace. It's Dudley. It's Dudley that's with him.
Oh, not so scurry. Somewhere off Portugal.
Day after day, I paced the corridors of Bartram in solitary agitation. Time after time, I was drawn to Mr. Chark's room, but I did not dare go in it.
You will not do it. You have no choice. It isn't in my line. I can't.
No one likes this sort of thing, but what else is there to do?
It won't work. We'll be caught.
You've no choice. The old boy's behind you with his pitchfork and his tail. You can't stop now.
It's the old boy, Nick, or you.
Besides, it will work. It's worked before. Watch.
And where is your dear cousin now?
Good morning, Maud.
Good morning, sir.
Maud, we have had words, but let us forget that for the moment. I will speak plainly to you. I perceive you are in danger.
Uncle?
You are in danger on two counts. The first is that the execution I mentioned will be upon us in 2 days. So I am informed by my attorneys, Messrs. Archer and Slay of Buxton.
It can only be distressing for you.
It is not the first time. The second is the more important. I'm gravely concerned for your health. You have overstretched yourself, and I can only think the associations you currently hold with Bartram Howe, for whatever reasons, cannot be conducive to your recuperation.
So?
I had always intended you join Millie at the conventual school in France. We shall advance our plans. You will leave in an hour's time.
Leave Bartram Howe?
Leave Bartram Howe.
Sir, I cannot thank you enough.
My dear Maud, although we have our differences, I have your interests very close to my heart. I have given instructions for packing.
Will Mary Quince...
You will be accompanied to France by Madame de la Rougière. You will recall that was the original plan.
I would prefer it if...
Does Mary Quince speak French? Remember, Madame is not a lady's maid. During the journey, she is in my stead. You will do as she directs.
You know the antipathy.
It is only for 2 days. Mary Quince and I will follow directly. I shall be lodging close to you. You are pleased?
Why, yes.
I would ask a small favour in return.
What is it?
I would ask you to write 2 letters to our cousin Monica. The first, now, explaining what is happening. My creditors. We need not mention your health. It would alarm her needlessly.
Yes,
you will explain you cannot put the French address in case the bailiff should find it out.
I understand.
And she can communicate via Messrs. Archer and Slay of Buxton. The second will be written whilst you are at London. It will say you are satisfactory upon your journey, which indeed you will be. You will show the first letter to me and the second to Madame.
Uncle, I resent the implication.
I must know you are not libelling my character. You have done so once. We understand each other now, but you are fickle. You will write the first letter now.
I don't know if I can.
I shall expect it in 15 minutes.
Your uncle says he's sorry he can't say goodbye.
Come along, Maud.
He's a touch of the old trouble.
Thank you, Wyatt.
We shall lose the train.
I'll enjoy, miss.
There you are. You've made your fond farewells with Mary Quince. I thought you would never come.
Drive quickly. The train departs in 19 minutes.
Hop!
I've had so many pleasant visits to your country. I look forward to showing you mine.
Madame.
Dearest Maud.
I think it would be best if we spoke to each other as little as possible.
So, you are quite recovered.
I would also be grateful if you addressed me as Miss Maud, at least in public.
Here are the gates. Open up! Open up!
Good morning, Miss Maud.
Good morning, Hawks.
I hope you had a pleasant journey.
Thank you, Hawks.
Hop!
I have never been in a train before.
It is a great big dragon, and it eats little girls.
I have never seen so many people.
Nothing to Paris.
Ask your friends at the railway, brother. Ask your friends at the railway.
Is the young lady looking for some way to lodge? She is with me. Oh, sorry. Didn't recognize you.
Look at the monkey.
Oh, this lady, look. Oh, look at his eyes.
Take it off me.
Here, my man. That's a nice.
Look, we must do something.
No, sir. This is how she makes her living. She's rich. He's not London. Wonderful.
I think it is hell.
So, we are settled. Mrs. Sewell is an old friend of mine. I have stayed here often. You are tired?
How do people sleep with the noise?
I must go out. My dear friend, Mademoiselle de Saint-Eloi, lives just across the street. She is bound to be in, and she will be offended if I do not call on her.
Whatever you wish.
You will write your letter to Lady Knollys.
Yes.
You will do it properly. I will inspect it when I return. I will not be long.
My dearest cousin, I'm writing to you from London. I'm much tired by the journey, but... Come in.
I hope I'm not disturbing you.
Mrs. Sewell.
Mr. Ruffin. And I hope the room's comfortable.
Yes, yes, comfortable enough.
You've not been to London before?
No, I have not.
And you're going to France?
Yes, to a convent school.
A convent school, yes. I have known Madame for some years.
So she informs me.
She stayed here with a number of young ladies while escorting them to France.
To a convent school?
To a convent school, yes. I used to escort young ladies myself. Well, that's how I met Madame, but now I run this hotel.
Mrs. Sewell, what is it you want?
Oh, I want to say I'm here if you need me.
Of course you are. You run the hotel.
I run the hotel.
The next morning, as we were at breakfast...
Entrez!
A letter for you, Miss Ruffin.
Oh, it is for me.
Oh, miss?
What is it?
It is from your uncle. There.
My dear madame, be so good as to take the 8:30 train to Dover tonight. Beds are prepared. Yours very truly, Silas Ruffin. Why is Dover underlined?
Oh, should I know?
Has it not a meaning?
How can I tell what was in your uncle's head when he made such a mark? In you get? Here we are. Safe and sound.
Is this the station we arrived at?
No, this is the one for Dover.
How long will the journey be?
Some hours. Now, compose yourself and get some sleep. Maud, wake up.
Madame.
Maud, wake up. We are at Dover.
Carriage for Miss Ruffin. Carriage for Miss Ruffin.
Come, we shall be late. We are now in the hotel grounds. Will you stop over here? Are you awake, Maud?
Yes.
Here we are. I have often stayed here.
I'll hand you down, miss.
Thank you. Where are the boxes?
I told you, they will follow.
It is dark.
It is late. Come. In we go.
Why have you locked the door?
They only left it open for us.
Where are the lights, madame? Where are the people?
It is past 3:00, child, but there is always light here. There. We can see our way. Let us go to our room.
But where are we to go? There is no one.
Never mind. They know me here. And I always have the same room when I write for it. Here we are. This is my bed, and that, by the window, is yours.
You've locked this door as well.
I always do in hotels. It is safest, and I put the key in my pocket, like this. Now, let us sleep.
Will they wake us up in time for the packet steamer?
I have no doubt of that. Good morning.
Yes.
Have you slept well?
I'm still tired. I'm not used to travel.
I am refreshed.
They're not too late for the packet.
We have another 2 hours.
Have they brought in the water?
Not yet.
We should go down to breakfast.
I will get them to bring it up here.
Is there a pretty view from the window?
No.
Can we see the sea?
No.
What's the view like?
Why don't you open the curtain and look out?
dirty. This hotel... Is it a hotel? Why, this is just like the inside courtyard of Bottom Hall.
Well, Miss Maud, is it not a clever trick?
We are at Bottom Hall. We are at Bottom Hall.
Yes.
Is it a mistake? Is it? What is it?
Oh, a mistake, of course. Bertram Howe is so like Dover, as all philosophers know.
Well, madame, I suppose you will be able to explain this to my uncle.
Never mind. I think he will forgive me.
You have brought me back, then, by my uncle's orders?
Did I say so?
What is the object of this duplicity?
Duplicity? Duplicity.
I suppose I may go to my own room.
Not today. It was disarranged when we went away.
Where is Mary Quince?
Mary Quince? She has followed us to France. I will go to talk to your uncle and get Miss Maud some breakfast. My dearest little Maud. My sweet little creature.
The windows. You screwed shut. The wainscoting has been pulled off. This was Mr. Chalk's room.
Miss Maud.
Oh, Meg. I thought you were Madame. She's been gone for hours.
They gave me some food to bring you. I've got you this instead. It's only bread and water, but...
It's safe.
Don't eat anything they give you. And drink only water. They intend to kill you.
I am convinced they do. Give me your key.
I can't. I must give it back to them.
Let me go out with you.
They're watching.
Can you get to Elveston?
They won't let me out of the house. After Tom Bryce.
Tom Bryce? Does Madame know they intend to murder me?
I don't think so. Father says they haven't told her everything. She drinks too much. She might have told you.
Yet they tell you.
They don't think I care for you. I must go. They'll be wondering.
Meg, Beauty. Goodbye.
Don't say that.
Madame.
I am sorry, my dear, to be so long. I had business downstairs. They do not tell me off.
What time is it?
Just after 4 o'clock.
As I thought.
You have been fed?
I am not hungry.
She is not hungry. She is not hungry. She is not.
Madame. Madame, I am frightened.
But what of?
Save me! Save me!
This is unseemly. Save you from what? There is nothing to save you from. Un moment, s'il vous plaît.
Yes? Master has sent some spiced wine for Miss Maud.
Thank you, Wyatt. Your uncle has sent you some wine. Will you try some? It smells good.
No, no. I'm not thirsty.
Very well. You will be glad to hear you will be rid of me tonight. I shall be sleeping downstairs.
No, I am not thirsty.
I notice they do not send anything for me. I will try some of this wine. Ah, your uncle may be about to be ruined, but he does have good taste.
I watched, hypnotized, as she drank and drank and drank.
Oh, my dear Maud. My child, that never was.
Gradually, she became drowsy. She lay down on the bed beside the window and finally went to sleep.
10 o'clock at least. What's that? It's a courtyard.
Nearly finished. This should do it.
They are digging for my grave. Past 1 o'clock.
She's asleep. By the window.
I know!
Do it! Do it! Now! Is it done?
Yes!
It was done quickly. Now back through the window and close it from the outside.
It's the wrong wand!
What?
It's the Frenchie! It's the wrong wand!
Wait! Let me see.
It's the Frenchie!
And I ran and I ran and I ran. I've escaped. I'm alive.
Miss Maud.
Tom Bryce. I'm lost.
I'll take you to your cousin at Elveston.
You will?
I will.
But the letter...
I got caught. I had no choice. Get in!
And now to endings. Tom Bryce delivered me to Elveston, where I flung myself on Cousin Monica.
Oh, Maud. 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 Monica, Monica.
It had been my uncle's plan to pass me off as having died in France and claim my estates. In the event, Dudley and Zamiel buried Madame in the grave intended for me. Zamiel Hawkes fled to Wigan, was later found guilty of an heinous crime, and paid the ultimate penalty. My cousin Dudley was never seen again. My uncle Silas was found dead in his room, an empty bottle of laudanum by his side. Meg Hawkes and Tom Bryce married and are doing well. My cousin Millie...
Oh, Maud, Maud, Maud.
...and I were joyfully reunited. She is now a clergyman's wife in Derbyshire. Dr. Briley is my close and faithful friend and runs my estates. Mrs. Rusk and Mary Quince, though 8 years older, are with me still. And I too am 8 years older and married to Lord Ilbury, of whom you might have heard mention.
Shall I bring Ilma through, Maud?
We are very happy, having all we could ask for.
Here he is. Who's going to his mother, then?
But still, in the back of my mind, there is a shadow. A shadow from 8 years ago, which is upon me still.
The blood of the Ruffins. The finest blood in England.
Thank you.
In the final part of Uncle Silas by Sheridan Le Fanu, Maud was played by Teresa Gallagher and Silas by George Cole. Madame de la Rougierre, Dorothy Tutin, Lady Monica Knollys, Joan Sims, Mary Quince, Catherine Byron, Millie, Jane Wittenshaw, Dudley, Jonathan Keeble, Zamiel, George A. Cooper, Beauty, Becky Hindley, Sarah Mangles, Linda Regan, Wyatt, Pauline Letts, Tom Bryce, Roger May, the coachman, Stephen Critchlow, Mrs. Sewell, Joan Littlewood, Dr. Brierly, John Hartley. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Uncle Silas was dramatized for radio by Alan Drury and directed by Enid Williams.